Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Real Lincoln, A New Look at Abraham Lincoln, His Agenda, and An Unnecessary War by Thomas J. DiLorenzo is a revisionist work of American historical interpretation focused on Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War, and the growth of federal authority. Published in 2002, the book challenges the dominant public image of Lincoln as a uniquely heroic preserver of the Union and liberator of enslaved people. DiLorenzo, an economist associated with libertarian and free market scholarship, reads Lincoln through questions of political economy, constitutional power, tariffs, state sovereignty, and centralized government. The book argues that the Civil War was not an unavoidable moral crusade, but a destructive conflict used to consolidate national power. Its purpose is less to offer a conventional biography than to contest the Lincoln legend and reinterpret the causes and consequences of the war. The work is influential among libertarian and constitutionalist readers, while many mainstream historians criticize its selectivity and conclusions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Lincoln as a centralizing political figure rather than a limited government statesman. A core theme of The Real Lincoln is DiLorenzo's claim that Lincoln represented a decisive break from the older American ideal of a limited and decentralized republic. The book presents Lincoln not simply as a wartime president reacting to crisis, but as a politician whose long-standing commitments favored national economic planning, protective tariffs, internal improvements, banking policy, and a stronger federal state. DiLorenzo links Lincoln to the Whig and later Republican tradition, arguing that this political program sought to redirect American government away from local autonomy and toward national administrative power. The reasoning behind this interpretation is that policy commitments reveal deeper constitutional priorities. If Lincoln consistently favored national economic development led by federal authority, then his wartime actions can be read as part of a broader ideological trajectory rather than as emergency measures alone. This framework makes the book distinctive because it treats Lincoln less as a moral symbol and more as an institutional actor whose presidency accelerated the transformation of the Union into a centralized nation-state. Secondly, the book disputes the heroic emancipation narrative surrounding Lincoln. DiLorenzo challenges the common portrayal of Lincoln as primarily motivated by the desire to abolish slavery. The book emphasizes Lincoln's public statements before and during the war that framed the preservation of the Union as the central objective, and it argues that emancipation became a military and political instrument rather than the original cause of the conflict. This does not mean the book denies the reality or importance of slavery. Rather, it disputes the idea that Lincoln entered the war as a straightforward abolitionist champion. DiLorenzo uses this distinction to separate moral outcomes from political intentions. The Emancipation Proclamation, in his interpretation, is treated as a wartime measure shaped by military necessity, diplomacy, and Union strategy. The argument matters because it asks readers to distinguish between later national memory and the actual sequence of political decisions. Critics contend that this treatment underplays slavery as the central cause of secession and war, but the book remains focused on questioning the simplified image of Lincoln as the uncomplicated great emancipator. Thirdly, secession and war are framed as avoidable consequences of coercive Union policy. The subtitle of the book points to one of its most controversial claims. DiLorenzo argues that the Civil War was unnecessary. He maintains that peaceful separation, compensated emancipation, or other political alternatives were possible, and that Lincoln chose coercion because accepting secession would have weakened federal authority and threatened the economic program of the national government. In this interpretation, the crisis at Fort Sumter and the call for troops are not viewed as inevitable steps toward national preservation, but as decisions that escalated a constitutional dispute into mass bloodshed. The book treats secession as a contested constitutional question rather than as self-evident treason, and it places strong emphasis on state sovereignty as understood by many 19th-century Americans. This reasoning is central to the book's revisionism because it shifts the moral burden of the war from slavery alone to the problem of forced political union. Mainstream historians generally reject this framing, especially where it minimizes slavery and secession, but it defines the book's argument. Fourthly, wartime measures are presented as precedents for expanded federal power. DiLorenzo gives substantial attention to Lincoln's wartime use of executive authority, treating it as evidence of constitutional subversion rather than temporary emergency governance. The book discusses measures associated with the Civil War presidency, including suspension of habeas corpus, military arrests, restrictions on dissent, conscription, and expansive federal action taken under wartime conditions. DiLorenzo argues that these actions created precedents for later national power by weakening older assumptions about local self-government and constitutional restraint. The logic is institutional. Even if a policy is justified as temporary, the example it establishes can alter the accepted boundaries of government authority. The book, therefore, presents the Lincoln presidency as a turning point, not only because the Union survived, but because the meaning of the Union changed. Federal supremacy became more forcefully asserted, and the central government acquired practical tools of coercion that earlier generations would have viewed with suspicion. This theme connects the historical argument to libertarian concerns about civil liberties, executive power, and the long-term expansion of the state. Lastly, its influence depends on a provocative method that is also the source of criticism. The real Lincoln stands out because it approaches Lincoln through a sharply adversarial lens. DiLorenzo gathers speeches, policy positions, constitutional disputes, and economic context to construct a case against the standard celebratory biography. This makes the book engaging for readers who believe national historical memory often protects political myths. It also makes the work controversial. Many Civil War scholars argue that DiLorenzo uses evidence selectively, gives insufficient weight to slavery as the driving cause of secession, and interprets Lincoln's language and actions through a predetermined libertarian framework. The resulting debate is part of the book's importance. It is not merely a biography of Lincoln, but an intervention in the politics of historical memory. Readers encounter a forceful argument about how presidents become national icons and how moral narratives can obscure institutional consequences. The book is best understood as polemical revisionist history rather than neutral synthesis. Its value lies in forcing questions about federalism and power, while its limits require comparison with mainstream scholarship on slavery, secession, and Civil War causation. In conclusion, The Real Lincoln is most appropriate for readers interested in Civil War interpretation, constitutional history, libertarian political thought, and critiques of federal centralization. It will be especially useful to those who want to understand why Lincoln remains a contested figure outside the standard patriotic narrative. The practical benefit is not a direct policy program, but a sharpened awareness of how wartime leadership can reshape constitutional norms and how historical memory can simplify political motives. Intellectually, the book encourages readers to examine the difference between moral outcomes, stated purposes, and institutional consequences. It stands out from many Lincoln books because it does not attempt to balance admiration with criticism in a conventional biographical format. Instead, it places Lincoln within a broader argument about tariffs, state sovereignty, executive power, and the transformation of the American Republic. That distinctiveness is also the reason it should be read with caution. The book is influential as a contrarian interpretation, but it should be paired with mainstream scholarship on slavery, secession, and the Civil War to evaluate its claims fully. Compared with standard biographies, its strength is conceptual provocation. Its weakness is the risk of overcorrection. Readers seeking debate rather than consensus will find it most rewarding. If you would like to support Thomas J. DiLorenzo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!